Okay, gentlemen, we are continuing on the story of grinding up salt, which the Gemara has been discussing based on the Mishnah. We are now on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, right? The Gemara ended off on a contradiction, which is now trying to resolve using a number of different methods, between the way it learns one brisa, which seems to say that you can't use a grinder under any circumstances. It's saying you can't grind up wheat because you can't use a grinder. On the other hand, it's saying you can use a grinder which is large, you can't use a grinder which is small. Gemara asked, why would I need to say that you can't grind up wheat because you can't use a grinder? You could just say, can't use a grinder. The answer is, it comes to exclude any grinder. Then it says, but wait, another braiser said that you can use a small grinder. So which is that? Rava. Amar Rava answers this contradiction. Like, Kashi, this is not a problem. Halan halahu. Right. We can use small grinders in Bavel. They, in Eretz Yisrael, cannot use small grinders. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, people are not necessarily careful about this halacha. So since people aren't, but in general, being careful about this halacha, they felt a need to make a stronger rule in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, here, we're very firm and we're very careful about halachas of grinding. So there, when it's mutter in any way, because we're not worried people are going to violate the halacha. Rav Papi Ikla Leve Marshmul. Rav Papi came to the house of Marshmul. Aisi Le Daisa Veleachel. So, and they brought him a porridge. He didn't want to eat it. Avedilma Machtaskana. Why would he not want to eat it? Because, clearly, the grains that went into making that porridge were grounds. Gemara says, how do you know it was done in a large grinder? Maybe it was done in a small grinder. And we said, Bovil, a small grinder is permitted. Right? He saw that everything in it was really well ground. When things are really, really, really well ground, clearly, apparently, they were done in a large grinder, not in a small grinder, it's obvious. Okay. How do you know that they did it today? Maybe they did yesterday. How do you know they were violating the halachas against grinding? He saw that it was very white. If it was done the day before, apparently, the color would have been more yellowish. Since it was very white, right, it was very, very white. Since it's very, very white, you can see it was really done. It was really must have been done very recently. It says, "Maybe you'll say, well, maybe we'll save shiny bee marshmallow." The ikapritzus, the dafni. Maybe we'll say the people in that house are just not that from, and he knew. So, while in general you can assume that people in Bavel are from and wouldn't have violated this halacha, the house are much more different. You can't assume people are so from. Okay, Mishnah. Haborer, that's the topic of the grinder, finished. Mishnah, Haborer, Kitniyos, Beyomtov. Sorry, I should mention, all of that discussion was really only on Yomtov, not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it is absolutely forbidden to grind anything. It's Tochin, it's a Malacha D'oraisa. Mishnah, Haborer, Kitniyos, Beyomtov. Somebody who is picking out, basically, beans on Yomtov. He's picking out the ones that aren't nice, so that they won't be in his food. Beishamai Omrim. Beishamai says, Boru Echel Veichel. Beishamai say that you really should eat this. You should pick out a small quantity and then eat a small quantity. Right? There should be a very, very close connection between when you're picking it out and when you're eating it. The reason why is because that way you're not doing it in the way that it's done industrially, you're not doing it in the way it's done agriculturally, you're not doing a large quantity at once. But if it's still Omrim, it's clearly only, for the purpose of food, the food that you want to eat. If it's still Omrim, basically, say, Boru Kedakan, you can pick out the beans in the normal fashion, how you're used to it. Becheiko, Beknon, Uvetamchui. So it's using your hands, Beknon of Tamchui. These are implements, trays and things that were used for this purpose of Aloi, Betavloi, Benafabloi, Bekvar. However, you shouldn't use a special implement which is designed only for separating the wheat from chaff. That already you should not do on Yom Tov, that's incorrect. And that's the way we pass them, by the way. Rav Gamliel says, Af Mediach Veshole. Right? What you can also do, says Rav Gamliel, is you can soak the beans, and immediately the chaff, the bits that you don't want, will float to the top, because they're lighter. Right, that is a mutter way of separating. Gemara. Tanya, Amar, Rabban, Neil, the Midrash, Mukshe, Eicha, Merubal, Pseles, Avap, Pseles, Merubal, Eicha, Divrei Hakol, No Tilas Hakol, Meniach, Pseles. Right. So, Rabban Gamliel said, when is this true? When Ochel, when the food is, there's more food than there is chaff. However, if there's more chaff, there's more things you don't want than there is food, then just take out the food. Don't worry about taking out the chaff. Why? The simple answer is because taking out the stuff you want and leaving the stuff that you don't want is not borer at all, right? Classic borer, the hamalacha borer, as it was done for the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash, for the purpose of creating menachos, is really you're separating the chaff from the wheat. Why? Because there's more chaff. There's less chaff than there is wheat. So it's easier to separate out the chaff. The second you're taking out what you want and leaving something you don't want, that's not borer. That's not the definition of borer in the Torah at all. And therefore, that's just permitted. So, obviously, you avoid the whole problem if you can by just taking out the stuff you want. If you're forced into a situation where you have lots of things you don't want and only a few things you don't want mixed in, you have to therefore take out the things you don't want, then already we'll talk about workarounds, but you don't start off at the stage of workarounds. Says Gemara, says Psolis Meruba Aloichel Mishari, is there really anybody who allows taking out the chaff, the things you don't want, from the things that you do want? So it says, Lai Lutzricha. This is the Nafish Betircha Vezutar Beshiura. Right? So no. There is nobody who says that if there's really a lot of solace that you can separate in the fashion that Rabban Gamliel said. Rather, it's if it will take a long time, it'll be very difficult. If you're taking out the bits that the things that you do want one by one, not things that you don't, it'll take you a long time. So therefore, I'm giving you a workaround to separate in such a case. Rabban Liel Omer Af Midiach V'Shuler. Rabban Liel says in such a case that you can simply soak everything and the stuff you don't want will float to the top. Tanya, Brisa. Amar Rabbi Elazar Barabbi Tzadik. Rabbi Elazar Barabbi Tzadik said, this is what they did in the house of Rabban Gamliel. They would bring a bucket full of lentils and they would soak it. And the lentils would sink to the bottom and the chaff would rise to the top. So, didn't we say the opposite? Didn't we say the food will float to the top and the chaff, the stuff you don't want, will be at the bottom? No, say lekash, it's not a problem. Habe afra, habe gili. There's a distinction between dirt, which is on the lentils, which is heavier than lentils, and therefore it'll be underneath the lentils, and chaff, which is really the skin of the lentil, which is lighter than the lentil, it'll float to the top. In other words, the specifics of where things went will obviously depend on what is specifically in the bucket. However, in principle, you can use this trick. Now, it should be noted, Borer d'oraisa has three things that define it. Borer the malacha d'oraisa has three things, three defining properties. A, it is psalos mitecha v'chol. You're taking things you don't want from things that you do want. So that's the classic case is chaff from wheat. Secondly, it is beklid, is done beklid shemalach telkach. It's done with an implement, like I said, a sieve or something, an implement which is really for that purpose and no other purpose. Thirdly, it is done in advance. It is not done right next to it's done in large quantities. You're preparing for a significant period of time and not just for the next, hour of eating. Not for this meal. Right? Those are, the Mishnah Berurah states, passing this way, that if you happen to break any of those three conditions, you bring it down from Borer d'oraisa to Borer d'rabbanan. Still aser, but only mi d'rabbanan to make Borer mutter legamri on Shabbos. Right? You would need to do it Borer miyad liyad. You would have to do it Borer ochel mitachapsalas. You would have to take the ochel mitachapsalas. You have to take things you do want from things you don't want. For example, let's say you have mandarins mixed around them. Mixed in among oranges. So you take, and you want a mandarin, so you take out a mandarin. Don't take out the oranges, right? Secondly, it would have to be done by hand. Not with any particular implement, not even with an implement which is not proper for that purpose. Should be noted that the poskim say an implement which merely extends your hand or makes things easier to hold, like a fork, is not for this purpose as considered an implement. It has to be an implement which is problematic. It's an implement which aids in the process beyond just extending your hand, which actually aids in the separation itself. Right? And miyat, right, has to be done for immediate use, not for use in the future. Right, let's continue on the Mishnah. Bishamai says you shouldn't give people gifts on Yom Tov unless it is food, ready-made food. Right? Beis Hillel say no. You can send an animal, you can send a domesticated animal, a cow, you can send a wild animal, a deer, you can send a bird. Even a live ben chayim shchutin, even if it's alive, and all those things that require a great deal of preparation still, you can send as a gift. Right? Why? Because you're only meant to send things to somebody on Yom Tov, which are ready made, which are ready to eat, which won't require, which won't be left over until tomorrow. If you send him an animal, he might just leave it until tomorrow, because it takes a long time to get it ready. This is Mishalchin Yenos Shmanim Savasalasos Vikinyos Avalotua. You can send wine, you can send oil. You can send various plants, you can send beans and legumes, what you should not send is grain which is unground, which has not been ground to flour. Why? Because it can't be ground on Yom Tov. Because it could have been ground before, and since it could have been ground before, it cannot be ground on Yom Tov, therefore it's not useful in any way on Yom Tov. You can only send things that have some, even Beis Hillel would agree, you only send things that have some use on Yom Tov. But Shammai just extending it, saying things, you're only sending things you think are likely to be used on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tfuah, Rabbi Shimon says even that is permitted. Why? Because firstly, you can grind them up in a small grinder, as we discussed. Secondly, who says they won't be used, right? You can, for example, straight wheat grains, you can just boil, right? That's a thing. Like, you can boil grains directly and then eat them. It's not the most common way of eating it, but it does exist. Okay. Gemara says, Tani Rav Yechiel, Rav Yechiel's taught, Ovil Vajla Yasenu Be Shura. Right? You shouldn't send a lot of people to take stuff. Why? Because then it looks like it's being done in a business-like fashion. Right? It's going to look like they're really taking it to the market to be sold. Right? One person, if you send it with one person, then already it's a gift. But if you send it with 10 people, it sounds like they're setting up a store in the market. A shura, a line of people, which we're discussing, is not less than 3 people. By Ravashi. Ravashi is asked. What if you send 3 things with 3 people to one person? Does that count as shura? We're not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvor. Shimon allows you to send tvor with sound grain. Why? Because it still has a use on Yom Tov. It's an unusual use of that product in general, but it has a use. Right. Tanya, we have a bright side. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvor. Okay, going chitin la'aseis mehen ludios. So only 10 lefnei behemto adashim la'aseis mehen resisin. So you can send tvor like wheat. Why? To make, basically to stick it in a pot and boil it up as whole grains. Sa'urin, right? So you can send barley because you can just feed it directly to your animal. Adashim, because resisim, again, it's a food that's made from lentils. It's not the thing that's most commonly eaten, but it can be made on Yom Tov without any isurim being violated, and therefore you can send lentils on Yom Tov to make that. It says the Gemara, Meshalchin, Kelim, you can send Kelim, you can send pots, pans, clothing, right? You can send implements of various sorts. Right? She says clothing, bein tefurim, bein sheinim tefurim. Whether they've been sewn together or not, and even if they have kilayim, they're unusable on Yom Tov, you can still send them. As long as they can be they are for the purpose of being used for the Yom Tov, the Gemara will explain what exactly is Yom Tov to use them for if they kilayim. Avaloi sandal ha mesumar. However, you cannot send a sandal mesumar. You cannot send a sandal which has nails stuck into the sole, right? They would hammer nails into the sole of the sandal to give the sandal a better grip. So we will see the world why that cannot be used. Veloi min al, and you cannot send limit al shenesha for, and you can't send a shoe where the leather has not been sewn together already, because then it's already not usable. Rabbi Yehuda said, af limin al lavan mipnei shetzarich uman, right? Like, you shouldn't send a white shoe, right? Because in those days nobody wore white shoes. And therefore, it's going to have to first go to someone to dye it black. Obviously, something that cannot be done in Yom Tov. Zekal, this is a general rule. Koshin oisin by your bow, by Yom Tov, Mishal, and I say, if they have some benefit on Yom Tov, then you can send them on Yom Tov. If they don't have some benefit on Yom Tov, you cannot send them on Yom Tov. Gemara says, Bishal Matforin. I understand why you can send clothing which has been sewed together already. It makes sense. Chazal amalbush, you can wear them. Shein for nami, chazal kisuyi. If they're not sewn together, then you can use it to cover things. You can use it as a blanket. You can use it as a towel. It has uses. Ela kilayin lamai chazal. What about kilayin? What possible benefit could you get from sharpness? Vechisema chazal lameimach tute. If you say you can put it out underneath you to give you a sheet for the bed, v'asanya lo yalecha, v'atayachol atziyo tachtecha, v'almuchlam imasu lasayt ken shema tidrach v'nima al besaroi. No. The Gemara, the Torah said lo yalecha, right? V'ekikilayim shatnez lo yalecha, shatnez is not, you're not meant to put it on top of you, v'atayachol atziyo tachtecha, you can use it as a sheet underneath you for the bed. However, Chazal made a gzeira that you shouldn't do that either, because it might curl up and end up covering you over the course of the night, and that's aser. And if you say, maybe use it as a sheet, and then you put another sheet on top, for some reason you want to do that. Didn't we see that Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Shimon Fazi said the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, said the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, said the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, said the name of the holy communities of Yerushalayim, that you may not, under any circumstances, sleep on a sheet of Kilayim because of this Gzera Derabanan, even if there are 10 sheets on top of it, right? It's simply forbidden to use the Kilayim as a sheet. Elabivilein, we must be talking about a curtain. You can use kilayim as a curtain. Baramarula, the marul Rabbi Loin tamim nisha shemesh mischamim keneg do. Right? Why did we not? Why do we assume? Didn't Ula say? Why do we assume that a curtain is mekabel tuma? Meaning it's a beged, right? It's not part of the house, right? It's not part of the building. Why do we assume a curtain is not part of the building and is mekabel tuma? Because sometimes what people will do is they'll stand inside the house and they'll wrap the curtain around themselves, right? And in the process of wrapping around, so they'll do that, they'll wrap it around themselves to make themselves warm. They're using it as a beged, they're using it as a garment, therefore a curtain is mekabel tuma, and therefore you shouldn't be able to use a curtain for kilayim either, because people use it in a way which is forbidden to be used, which kilayim is forbidden to be used. Shkoyach, gentlemen, will continue, please God, tomorrow.